Chapter 26, Categorizing Your Beliefs. My first unity suggestion concerns our beliefs. We need to get back to the basics. By that I mean separate out from the vast network of interconnected beliefs what are the fundamentals on which we can hopefully unite. Maybe the basics in the Apostles' Creed mentioned above could be a starting point. Many of us have found it useful to have a three-band system for categorizing our beliefs, viewed as three concentric circles. The inner band, or core, is a small collection of vital creedal basics, things like the Trinity, the full deity and humanity of Christ, and his resurrection. These are the pillars of the Christian faith that have marked the Church in every generation. On this basis, I am united with Catholics and Orthodox, Baptists, Methodists, the Salvation Army, just about every type of Christian, except the cults. The second band contains doctrinal items of secondary importance, ones that have given denominations their particular flavour. Here I would include items like the nature of the Holy Spirit's work in us, how the Church is governed, the mode of baptism, how God runs the world, what we mean by the inspiration of Scripture, and many similar beliefs. I can lovingly agree to differ with people who take different views on these topics without writing them off as heretics or breaking fellowship with them. The third outer band contains mainly opinions on peripheral subjects, whether tithing is appropriate in the Church, whether the interpretation of speaking in tongues should be God to us, prophecy, or us to God, prayer and praise, whether congregational praying of the Lord's Prayer is desirable or vain repetition, whether or not smoking is a sin, minor hermeneutical issues, pet theories. When asked my views on such issues, I will come clean, but will never let them cause division. I encourage you to adopt this approach and to give far greater weight to the inner core band than to these other two. That will take you a long way towards meaningful unity between you and Christians from different backgrounds and traditions. The other unity suggestion concerns our Lord Jesus Christ and Noah's Ark. Let me explain, and this holds good whether you take the Ark story literally or not. How do you imagine Noah managed to get all the animals into the ark? Think about it. Getting a huge variety of creatures living in different habitats over a large area into one place must have been difficult indeed. Did Noah and his sons go on safari with lassos, nets and cages? If so, how did they transport the animals they captured? Years ago, I heard the American preacher Bob Mumford make an alternative suggestion that has stayed with me ever since. Maybe, he said, God put into all the selected creatures an instinct to make their own way to the ark. Imagine them all, creatures of every kind, different shapes and sizes, stirred by that same instinct, and from the four points of the compass, slowly heading for the ark. The closer they got to it, of course, the more aware they would become of other creatures different from themselves doing the same thing. On this analogy, the ark is Jesus Christ and we are the animals. And we are stirred by a common instinct to get ever closer to him, not closer to a set of doctrinal tenets or a denominational confession, but closer to Jesus in the sense of wanting to know him better, emulate him more keenly, and grow more like him in character. If I dedicate myself to doing that, as I draw closer to Jesus, I will become aware of others who are doing the same. Some of them, believe it or not, may be crossing themselves, others carrying icons which they kiss from time to time, yet others raising their arms and shouting hallelujah. Some will be wearing ecclesiastical robes or the habit of a monk or nun. Others will be in uniform and playing a tuba. But I won't even bother looking at those externals. I'll just be thrilled that they're seeking Jesus the same way I am. And as the great throng converges to become a jostling, happy crowd of worshippers, My delight will be to greet each and every one with a holy kiss, or its equivalent, and jump with joy at being part of this vast company of Jesus followers. Then, at last, the world will catch a glimpse of the unity Jesus prayed for, and marvel, and know who he really is. I encourage you then to focus on being a Jesus follower now. You may need to look across the street or over the denominational fence to see others who are following him, but they are there if you have a yearning heart and eyes to see. You will never be able to join in this pilgrimage as long as you hide away in the kind of doctrinal tower I've kept mentioning. Our complex systems of interrelated beliefs keep us isolated from one another. They're not essential, as I've tried to show. So, if you haven't done so already, ditch your towers and systems. Rigid, hidebound evangelicalism is not attractive to seekers after God. Loosen up and experience afresh the Father's unflinching love, the warm company of Jesus, our Saviour, Lord and Brother, and the beautiful dynamism of the Holy Spirit. You can't do that from inside a doctrinal cage whose door has been welded shut. I invite you then to see the challenges I have outlined in this book not as threats to your stability, but as cutters that could be the key to setting you free. Once you're out of the cage, be sensitive in the expression of your liberty. Control your talk. Too much, too quickly, will alienate Christian friends whom you need to keep on side. Just let a new idea drop into your conversation with them from time to time. Their first reaction might be to think, she's gone off the rails. But let them see your Christ-like humility and love, and they will in due time be ready to face up to some of the challenges for themselves. Above all, if you have access to a pulpit, be slow to preach these things too vigorously. You yourself will have taken a long time to reach settled conclusions, so you can't realistically expect your congregation to embrace the same conclusions on the basis of a 30-minute tirade from you. I speak from experience. If we can all handle this matter with patience, grace, and love, it will move things along towards the day when many of these ideas will become mainstream and the Lord's name will be honoured as a result. The day is approaching. The kingdom is growing. Jesus is coming. In the meantime, evangelicalism is changing. It must change. It will change. How it changes is up to you and me.